Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but for some reason, they just won't go to sleep. And for this reason, I created the podcast Bedtime History. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. Join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, Bea, what's going on in here?
Oh, hi, Elliot. Today we're talking about naturalist writer Rachel Carson, and my love of the sea was reawakened. So I decided to get a pet octopus. Her name is 8 Winslet.
Oh, I love a good pun name, but I don't know if...
Aw, she really likes you. 8 Winslet never hugs me like that.
I flatter, but could you ask her to stop?
Okay, 8. Elliot doesn't like long hugs. It's time to let him go. Ooh, she says, nevermore.
Ah, like the other person we're talking about today. Gloomy poet Edgar Allan Poe. Nothing like a well-read cephalopod. Eric, please play the theme song.
What do you think you know about the greats from history? The game is on, get some energy and buckle up your brain, cause it's time to play. It's the Who Was Podcast, cause it's time to play the Who Was Podcast.
Live from Tongvaland, or so-called SoCal, Los Angeles, welcome to Who Was, the history quiz show that gives contestants the chance to win mega prizes and podcast glory. I'm Bea, the world's best announcer, according to this mug. And now, here's your host, the man who wears a life jacket when he watches Titanic, it's Elliot Kalin.
Thank you, Bea. You can't be too careful, even when you're watching a movie. And welcome, everyone, to the Who Was Podcast. This show, it's like Jeopardy, only with surprise guests, silly games, and our own catapult. Release the melons!
Four!
Our contestants were sent Who Was books about two great figures from history. Now they're here to show off their knowledge in the hopes of winning fantastic prizes.
Today, we're discussing two writers whose hearts told tales, Rachel Carson and Edgar Allan Poe.
But before we get to know them, let's get to know our contestants.
All right, first up, we have Gus. Gus, will you please introduce yourself?
Okay, let's see here. My name is Gus, as she just said. And a fact about me is that I'm a complete Star Wars nerd.
I am also a complete Star Wars nerd. I really like Star Wars. It's something very special in my life. What's your favorite thing about Star Wars? Like, do you have a favorite character or a favorite movie in the series or a favorite droid or a favorite spaceship or a favorite alien? What do you like in Star Wars? What's your favoriteest thing?
Okay, well, my favorite character is Darth Vader.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite character, too.
He's a great character. He's like an evil space samurai. This is a history podcast, and Star Wars is technically history. It happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So, you know what? Let's not talk about Edgar Allan Poe and Rachel Carson. Let's talk about great Star Wars characters like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Wait. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm taking over this podcast. Okay, thank you so much, Gus. And up next, we also have Jeremy with us today. Jeremy, please introduce yourself.
My name's Jeremy, and I like ramen, sushi, anime, and other Japanese things.
And the listeners at home can't see this, but Gus's hands literally just went to his face. I think he was gasping because he also loves those foods.
Except for I don't like anime, but I like all those other things.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite kind of ramen to have?
I just like the original plain.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Thank you both for joining us today and for telling us about yourselves. And thank you to Eric, our musician, for providing that lovely Meet the Contestants music, as well as all the music you'll hear on the show today. So that's who is. Now let's find out who was Rachel Carson with four fast facts.
Four fast facts.
Rachel Carson was born in 1907 and died in 1964.
Rachel was a marine biologist, a writer, and a conservationist.
Rachel received her master's degree from the prestigious Johns Hopkins University.
And she won the National Book Award for nonfiction for The Sea Around Us in 1952.
Four fast facts.
All right, very important question for both of you. What is your favorite sea animal?
Sea cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. Sea cucumbers.
Now I'm all hungry.
They're not edible, I think.
Dang it.
I think you can, but I don't think you can just pick them up and take a bite out of them like you would out of a regular cucumber. I don't think they're crunchy. I don't think they'll crunch if you take a bite of them. I think they might be a little mushy and gooey.
You can find out by swimming to the bottom of the sea.
Mm-hmm. If anyone's curious.
Yeah, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Time me.
Yeah, B, you'll find out. Gus, what about you? What's also sea cucumbers or a different marine animal?
It's as easy. A shark. Next.
Wow. Okay. Well, what is it? I guess sharks are kind of the Darth Vader of the ocean, but is that why? Because sharks are scary and kind of tough and they have a lot of teeth?
Yeah, but they're the great white shark's natural predator. It only has one, the killer whale. And that's only in a pod of killer whales.
I think sharks are the animal I'm most frightened of.
I think the animal I'm most frightened of is probably like a monkey with a hammer in its hand.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like a regular monkey, not that afraid. But a monkey with a hammer, he could break your stuff. You don't want that to happen. Who gave that hammer to a monkey? Get that hammer out of that monkey's hand. That's what I say. I'm not afraid to take a stand about it. Okay, we've made some very good points here about sharks, monkeys with hammers, and sea cucumbers. Let's get right to it with our first game. It's called True or False.
False. Is it true or is it false? Is it false or is it true? Is it true that it was false? Or is it false that it was true? True. True or false?
In this game, B will read a statement about Rachel Carson, and you'll tell us if it's true or
false.
False. And since it's our first game, each question is worth 1 point. Gus, you're up first.
True or false? As a child, Rachel got her brother to stop hunting the rabbits on the Carson family property because they reminded her of the Easter Bunny.
False.
Yeah, there you go. False. Rachel did convince her brother Robert to stop hunting the rabbits, but it was because they reminded her of the characters in the Beatrix Potter books that her mother read to her. Rachel loved animals and spoke out for them at a very early age. Jeremy, this next question is for you.
True or false? Rachel started college studying English, but decided to change her focus to science.
True.
That's right, it's true. While being someone who loved nature, Rachel didn't have much interest in taking science classes earlier in college due to feeling that her high school science classes were boring. However, like many of us, one good teacher turned all that around, and she decided to study science as a career. Though, as we know now, she eventually combined her love of English and science. I call it Eng-science. The next question goes to Gus.
True or false? Rachel had no trouble getting a job as a biologist.
False.
That's true that it's false. I was about to say true, but you were right. That's true that it's false. Rachel's classmates thought she was making a big mistake when she decided to be a scientist. In the 1920s, a young woman could find a job as a writer much, much easier than a job as a scientist. In fact, when Rachel went to the United States Bureau of Fisheries to find out what she should study to get a job as a biologist, the acting director told her they had never hired a woman scientist there. Luckily, Rachel did not let discrimination stop her from following her dream. And Jeremy, you get the final question of the round.
True or false? Rachel's famous book, Silent Spring, is about the time she went a whole spring without talking, whistling, or burping.
False. I think you're saying that that wasn't what it was about.
Yes, exactly. What Bea said was false. In Silent Spring, Rachel explained how the chemical pesticides used to keep bugs and rodents away from farms were actually so poisonous they were killing birds and making people sick. She imagined a silent spring in which no birds could be heard singing because they'd all been poisoned. Readers were so shocked that they demanded the government pass laws restricting the use of pesticides, helping to start the modern environmental protection movement. So think about Rachel Carson the next time you breathe clean air, drink clean water, or eat a snack that doesn't poison you.
I could really go for a non-poison snack right now.
Then good news, because that was the last question in True or False.
True or false.
Now, before we go to a break, let's spring over to someone who's never silent, producer Jane, with our first round scores.
Thank you, Elliot, although that was a little rude. I want to tell you that you both have, we have Gus and Jeremy both have 2 points.
Thank you, Jane. A tie game. I can't wait to see what happens next. We'll be back with our next game after this short break. Eric, could you please play us out with some fish hatching music?
Hey, I found Nemo.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but with all that anxious energy, they just won't go to sleep. This was my kids every night. But I did find that stories calmed their mind and gave them something to focus on. So 6 years ago, I created the kids' podcast, Bedtime History, to help solve that problem. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. We have episodes about Jackie Robinson, Neil Armstrong, Maya Angelou, and Sacagawea. Episodes also include topics like space exploration, engineering, the rise and fall of civilizations, and major events like the Civil Rights Movement and the Transcontinental Railroad. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. This week, join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of 2, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh,
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Who Was podcast. Today we're learning who was Rachel Carson and who was Edgar Allan Poe. And now back to your host, Elliot Kalin.
Thanks, B. Once upon a game show dreary, it's time to get to know Edgar Allan Poe with four fast facts.
Four fast facts.
Edgar Allan Poe was born in 1809 and died in 1849.
Poe had to pay himself to have his first book of poems, Tamerlane and Other Poems, published. It was credited to a Bostonian.
Poe was not only a writer, but also a literary editor and critic.
He was best known for his spooky gothic writing in stories like The Pit and the Pendulum, The Telltale Heart, and The Mask of the Red Death.
Four fast facts.
Now let's get into our second game. It's called...
Elliot, I can't believe you have your phone on during the show. Oh, how unprofessional.
That's not my ringtone, B. My ringtone is that Lizzo song all the kids love. Don't ask me to tell you the name of it. I heard it in the grocery store.
He's correct, dear B. That was no mere novelty chime. It was, in fact, a portent of something most ghastly. Namely, me.
Edgar Allan Poe?
In the rotting flesh? Thanks to the Who Was That?
That. You want to reach someone in the past. All you need is the Who Was That? Who Was That?
Honestly, Edgar, your skin is actually quite nice.
Flawless, I'd say.
I'm attempting a theater of the mind thing here.
Oh, we're sorry.
No need for apologies. In fact, it's why I'm here. To give you notes.
The thing all comedy writers fear most. All right, we'll make the Elliot character more likable.
Okay, maybe we should hear him out, Elliot. After all, he was a literary critic for part of his life.
That's right. Okay, what notes do you have for the show, Edgar?
Please, call me Mr. Allan Poe. And my biggest note is you're creating an audio experience here. Where are all the scary sound effects?
Hey, yeah, where are all the scary sound effects, Elliot?
When I wrote my poems, I always paid close attention to the sounds of the words themselves and the effect on the listener.
Sure, but I don't know that we really need to have...
Have you tried them?
Well, no, but still.
Then how would we know?
Exactly. Very good, B. Elliot, would you say something you often say on this show?
Oh, sure, okay. Let's go to producer Jane with the scores.
That laugh really makes things Edgar Allan pop, doesn't it?
Wow, it does.
Believe me, Mr. Poe, I love scary sounds, but I really feel that isn't the show that we're making.
You see? The wolf howl got my attention back.
What's that supposed to mean?
You can be kind of dry sometimes, Elliot.
B.
Whoa, what was that? Is there a ghost in the studio?
Now, wait a minute. Okay, come on. That one was just a dolphin.
Oh, sure. And dolphins aren't scary? Just me then? Okay, well, either way.
Well, I think that's a great note, and I'm excited to circle back to it.
Wait a minute. That's what I always say about your notes.
Yes, and you always take them.
No, I never... Oh...
I knew if you removed your ego from the situation, young Elliot, you'd see how helpful I was being. Well, I must be going now. I have a spooky lunch with Shakespeare.
Okay, I'll bite. What are you having for lunch?
Chicken fingers. What could be more terrifying than consuming the fingers of chickens? Let us ride into the darkness, Who Was That, and see what frightful creatures await us. Ah! But you both jumped. I saw it. I'm still the king. Poe out.
Who was that?
I love someone with a passion for their work.
And I love our second game, Backpack from the Past.
Backpack from the past, baby!
We have a backpack that contains some of Edgar Allan Poe's personal objects. We'll describe those objects for our contestants and the listeners at home. Contestants, you will choose which multiple-choice answer best describes its importance to the life of Edgar Allan Poe. Since this is our second game, each question is worth 2 points. Jeremy, you're first this time around.
Let's see here. Oh, it's a loaf of bread. Specifically, a baguette. Wow, a really long baguette. Whew, I hope our insurance covers bread. Jeremy, why would Edgar Allan Poe's backpack contain a baguette? Is it A, because he liked to be able to make big sandwiches for anyone at any time, or B, he spoke French?
He spoke French, B.
That's right, the answer is B. When Edgar was just 6, his family left the United States for England. Young Edgar went to a boarding school outside of London and got to study things many of us don't until we're much older. Among them were history, literature, and of course, the French language. Okay, Gus, this next object is for you. Let's see what we've got here. What have we here? It looks like a bugle. Yep, definitely a bugle. So, Gus, why would Edgar Allan Poe's backpack contain a bugle? Is it because A, Edgar was in the military, or B, because Edgar was in what us old folks call a ska band?
Because he was in the military.
That's right, A, he was in the military. Edgar needed a way to make ends meet, so he enlisted in the army. He rose quickly in the ranks, becoming a sergeant major after only 19 months. He went to school to become an officer, but left because writing was his true passion. Jeremy, let's see what the backpack reveals next for you.
Aw, it's a cute little raven. Oh, okay, all right. Ooh. I wouldn't want to be cooped up in a backpack either, but a please would have been nice. Anyway, Jeremy, why in the world would Edgar Allan Poe have a raven in his backpack? Is it because A, the raven is his most famous work, or B, he needed someone to help him eat that big baguette?
A.
That's right, the answer is A. Edgar's poem, The Raven, was published in the New York Evening Mirror in 1845.
Nevermore.
Yeah.
Very nice, that's what the raven says.
Exactly.
Edgar was already pretty well known, but the raven's success turned him into a full-fledged celebrity. He was invited to important parties and was asked to give poetry readings and lectures. To this day, the raven is the work Edgar Allan Poe is most associated with, and the football team of Edgar's beloved city, Baltimore, is named the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, in honor of him. So I think he's the only American poet to have a football team named in his honor.
Ooh.
Except, I guess, for the New York Football Leaves of Grass were named after Walt Whitman's work, of course.
That's true, yeah. They sing The Body Electric.
Yes, they do. And they play The Body Footballic. Gus, you have the final object. Oh, this one's pretty far in the back of the backpack. Let me see if I can reach. Ah, got it. Oh, it's a magnifying glass. Now, tell me, Gus, why would Edgar Allan Poe have a magnifying glass in his backpack? Is it because A, he created the detective story, or B, he couldn't afford glasses?
Because he created the detective story.
Yes, the answer is A. Edgar wrote The Murders in the Rue Morgue for Graham's Magazine in 1841. The lead character is a detective named C. Auguste Dupin, who uses both logic and imagination to solve a series of murders. That's pretty common now, but at the time, there had never been a mystery about a hero's deductive reasoning. Mysteries had always been about action, but people loved the story, and the detective story was born. In fact, Rue Morgue inspired the creations of famous detective characters like Sherlock Holmes and Encyclopedia Brown.
And now, as to the solution to the mystery of, is this the end of the game? Yes, it is the end of the game.
Backpack from the past, baby.
Way to use your powers of deductive reasoning.
We're going to take a quick break now before our final game of the show and let producer Jane calculate the scores. Eric, would you play us some detective music, please?
Hey, I figured it out.
Salut, who was there? C'est moi, Marie Curie.
You may remember me from winning multiple Nobel Prizes, or perhaps from my episode of the Who Was podcast, where I played myself. I wanted to take a moment to read one of my favorite reviews about the Who Was podcast. This is from Shake and Bake, and it reads, "Loved this. Me and my little sister love this show. More please. Our fave is Harriet Tubman." If you want to hear your review read on the air, make sure to subscribe, like, and review to the Who Was podcast in the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Au revoir, or should I say, a bientôt!
When the clock is started.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip! The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places!
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun!
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but with all that anxious energy, they just won't go to sleep. This was my kids every night. But I did find that stories calmed their mind and gave them something to focus on. So 6 years ago, I created the kids' podcast, Bedtime History, to help solve that problem. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. We have episodes about Jackie Robinson, Neil Armstrong, Maya Angelou, and Sacagawea. Episodes also include topics like space exploration, engineering, the rise and fall of civilizations, and major events like the Civil Rights Movement and the Transcontinental Railroad. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. This week, join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay!
Welcome back to the Who Was Podcast. Today we're learning who was Rachel Carson and who was Edgar Allan Poe. And now, back to your host, Elliot Kalin.
Thanks, B. And now, without further ado, let's go to producer Jane for the solution of the mystery of what are the scores?
Elliot and B, I don't want to scare you, but the scores are 6 for Jeremy and 6 for Gus.
Oh,
it's
my
tied.
Oh.
It's a spine-tingling tie so far. Well, we should just get to the final game, Converge of Greatness.
What was that?
That was the sound of greatness converging. Very inspiring, isn't it?
No.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because in this multiple choice game, B will read questions where our two historical figures overlap or converge. And because this is our third game, each correct answer is worth 3 points. Pick the best option as your answer. Gus, the first question is for you. B, let's roll.
Both Rachel and Edgar wrote debut books that didn't do very well. While Edgar didn't write another novel again, Rachel's second book was a bestseller. What was Rachel's second book called? A, The Sea and Me, B, The Despicable Sea, or C, The Sea Around Us?
The Sea Around Us.
That's right, the answer is C. The Sea Around Us was published in 1951, and in it, Rachel wrote about how the oceans affect all of us. The book was so popular that during the holiday season of 1951, 4,000 copies were sold a day. It stayed on the New York Times bestseller list for 86 weeks and was translated into 28 languages. I didn't even know there were that many languages. Jeremy, the next question is for you.
Both Edgar and Rachel excelled at the jobs they worked at before they reached fame. Rachel impressed everyone with her scripts for the Bureau of Fisheries, and Edgar was an editor and literary critic at this magazine. Was it A, Nevermore Monthly, B, Sad Hunks Quarterly, or C, Southern Literary Messenger?
C, I think.
You're right, the answer is C. In 1835, Edgar became editor of a magazine called the Southern Literary Messenger. He was there for 17 months as editor and literary critic. While it wasn't Edgar's dream job, he was very good at it. The magazine's subscriptions increased from 700 to 5,500 during Edgar's tenure there. Gus, the next question is for you.
5,500? I didn't even know there were that many people that read magazines. Okay. Both Rachel and Edgar were serious about school. Unfortunately, Edgar had to drop out of the University of Virginia when his father wouldn't help cover his financial debts, and Rachel would not have been able to graduate school at Johns Hopkins University without this. A, a scholarship, B, a blessing from Mr. Johns Hopkins himself, or C, a secret password, which was just disappointingly password 12345.
A.
Yes, the answer is A. After college, Rachel wanted to continue studying science as a graduate student and applied to Johns Hopkins, one of the best universities for the sciences. Not only was she accepted, but due to her excellent grades, Rachel was awarded a scholarship. Her family was not rich, so the fact that Rachel wouldn't have to figure out how to pay for school was a huge relief and meant that she could go. Jeremy, here is the last question, and it's for you.
Both Edgar and Rachel started writing early in life. Rachel's first story was published in St. Nicholas magazine when she was just 10 years old. Edgar wrote his earliest known poem when he was just A, just a little baby, B, 16 years old, or C, in kindergarten.
C, I think in kindergarten.
I'm so sorry, the answer is B, when he was 16 years old. Edgar's earliest known poem was titled O Tempora, O Mores. The title is in Latin, and it translates to O the times, O the customs. It was about a store clerk, and it made fun of the business world, and his foster father, John Allen, was a businessman who owned a store, so I think we can guess where Edgar's inspiration came from, but I doubt John was very flattered. And that brings us to the end of Converge of Greatness. That spooky sound means we're at the end of the game and the end of the show. While we wait for producer Jane to tally the points, I'd love to hear from the contestants. What is something that you were surprised to learn about either Rachel Carson or Edgar Allan Poe? Gus?
Well, see, it has a little short story to it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah,
that.
Tell it to us.
So when I was, like, littler than I am right now, My mom used to read me this picture book called Edgar Goes to Bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a raven. And his mom is always telling him, go to bed and all that stuff. And he always says, nevermore. And I'm like, what the heck? And then when I saw this book, I'm like, wait, this is reminding me of something. And then my mom's like, it's because of it's that book is based on it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's great.
So the Who Was podcast has helped you to solve a mystery of your own life. Oh, Edgar Allan Poe would be very happy about that. Jeremy, what about you? What was surprising to learn about either Edgar Allan Poe or Rachel Carson?
I didn't know there's actually a reason behind why all of the books, why all of his stories had something to do with death.
He had a lot of tragedy in his life, and a number of members of his family died at different points. So yeah, you think he was haunted by death, and so he kind of processed it by writing stories and poems about it?
I think like six people who he really loved died at an early age.
In the book, they said something about him losing like five different women he cared about.
Yeah, and a lot of it was from tuberculosis.
It's a great thing that doesn't really happen anymore.
Yes, yeah, very lucky.
It's wonderful to know that it's something that we don't have to really worry about so much anymore. And it's wonderful that Edgar Allan Poe was able to take that and use it to create literature that we still read and enjoy to this day. Those are both great stories. Thank you both for sharing them. And now, it's time for the big moment. Jane, please announce our winner.
Elliot B., I find counting numbers to be a natural mystery, but I was able to calculate that Jeremy had 9 points and Gus ran ahead with 12. He is our winner.
An amazing win. Very close until the very end. Jeremy, you played a great game, and Gus, congratulations. You played a great game, too. As our winner, Gus, you have 10 seconds for shout-outs. Who would you like to thank for taking you all the way to the top today?
Okay, let's just say my family, and I hope that my friends will listen to this.
Us, too.
I'll make sure your friends listen to it. Just have your friends call me, and I'll say, hey, listen to the show. It'll be really good. Our winner and their library of choice will be receiving a selection of Who Was books, and I'm going to give a shout-out to intern Zach, to Jane, Eric, Ryan Darbon for being our Edgar Allan Poe, and to B, and a big thank you to both of our contestants, Jeremy and Gus, for playing an amazing game, and especially thanks most of all to you, the listener, for listening. Until next time, this is Elliot Baltimore Raven Kalen saying, we're history! Goodbye, everybody! Thank you! Got a question for any of our famous figures? Send us a voice memo at thewhowaspodcast@gmail.com. It might just end up on the show. The Who Was podcast is produced by Radio Point, iHeartMedia, and Penguin Workshop, and is based on the best-selling Who HQ series, published by Penguin. Hosted by Elliot Kalen, this show is co-hosted by Megan O'Neill as V, and it also starred Jane Baker as producer Jane, Eric Shackney as Eric, and Ryan Darbon as Edgar Allan Poe. Our executive producers are Richard Corson, Alex Bach, Elliot Kalen, Megan O'Neill, Daniel Powell, and Houston Snyder. Our executive producer for Penguin Workshop is Francesco Sedita, and our executive producer for iHeartMedia is Lindsay Hoffman. This episode was written by Devin Coleman, Elliot Kalen, and Megan O'Neill. It was produced by Bernie Kaminsky and Taylor Kowalski. Our talent producer is Jane Baker. Our theme song and music are composed and performed by Eric Shackney. And of course, it was all edited and mixed by Kate Moldenhauer. Recorded by Joanna Samuels. Special thanks to Zach Timpson, Charlotte Danda, and Michael Lewis Howard. Sound services provided by Great City Post.
It's the Who Was podcast, because it's time to play the Who Was podcast.